Today's Old Testament reading comes from Isaiah chapter 66. For I know their works and their thoughts, and the time is coming to gather all nations and tongues. And they shall come, and they shall see my glory, and I will set a sign among them. And from them I will send survivors to the nations in Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, and draw the bow to Tubal and Javan, and to the coastlands afar off, that have not heard my fame or seen my glory. And they shall declare my glory among the nations, and they shall bring all your brothers from all the nations as an offering to the Lord, on horses and in chariots, and in litters, on mules, and in dromedaries, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, says the Lord, just as the Israelites bring their grain offering in a clean vessel to the house of the Lord. And some of them also I will take for priests and for Levites, says the Lord. For as the new heavens and the new earth that I make shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your offspring and your name remain. From new moon to new moon and from Sabbath to Sabbath, all flesh shall come to worship before me, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The epistles from Hebrews, chapter 12. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses. Have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the ones he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Strive for peace with everyone, and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled, so that one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg so that no further messages be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. Jesus went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. And someone said to him, Lord, will those who are saved be few? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, open to us. Then he will answer you, I do not know where you come from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, O you workers of evil. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves cast out. And people will come from the east and west and from the north and south and recline at the table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hopefully none of us fit into this category of coming to church, sing a few songs, listen to another great sermon from me, drop a little money in the offering plate, then go home, change out of church clothes, and hang up God for a week, figuring, I've got it all figured out. My salvation is assured. The religious leaders that Jesus was facing in today's gospel lesson, I would say, had too much religion, but too little Jesus. In our text it says, and he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. Then one said to him, Lord, are there few who are saved? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open for us, and he will answer you and say to you, I do not know you, where you come from. Then you'll begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you, where you are from. Depart from me, O you workers of iniquity. Then there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. They will then come from the east and the west, from the north and south, and sit down in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are the last who will be first, and there are first who will be last. Maybe the one who asked the question, are only a few saved? Maybe he asked it because Jesus had been teaching that salvation was not automatic based on your genealogy. See, the Pharisees taught that since you were a descendant of Abraham, and since you had been circumcised as an outward sign of an inward conversion, you were automatically saved just based on the fact that you were a Jew. Jesus comes and he flips that on its head. Now, the Jews also taught that not only did all Jews go to heaven, the only exception was really bad Jews didn't go. But if you were basically, you tried, that was good enough. Your genealogy got you in. For Gentiles to get into heaven, they first had to become Jews. Thinking they're confused, today's people are no less confused. If you look at the general population, both of believers and unbelievers, 50% of people think that good people, regardless of their relationship with Jesus, will be saved. Now, get a load of these statistics. When you poll people, that's called a what? Survey, thank you. It was a hard word to say. Survey of Christians, how they thought people were saved. Now, 63%, so just shy of two-thirds, say they'll go to heaven when they die because they have confessed their sins and accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. 11% believe they'll go to heaven because they're basically good people. 10%, now these are people who have a relationship with Christ. 10% say they don't know what's going to happen to them after death. 7% believe that all people go to heaven because God is love and he wouldn't let anyone perish. 5% say when they die they'll go to heaven because they've attempted to keep the Ten Commandments. And now here's the saddest group. Only 2% believe that when they die they will not go to heaven. Like Jews, too oftentimes we take salvation for granted. But there are four important points I want to make about going to heaven. First, it's not accidental. Jesus says in verse 24, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. The meaning of strive to enter can also be translated as make every effort. Now, if heaven's a free gift, why do we have to strive for it? Why do we have to make every effort? Because there's a very specific route to heaven. Jesus says in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads into destruction. And there are many who go by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who will find it. One will not just happen to enter the kingdom of God. No one will have to strive, or one will have to strive for it. The second point I want to make is the road to heaven is narrow. The Greek word is restrictive, because the narrow door is Jesus Christ. There's only one way to heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. It's not a combination of what Buddha taught or Allah teaches or just secularized religion teaches. It's Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And the narrow door is an important lesson to learn, because it says few will pass through it. Just to make a point, just because your name is on the church rolls or your family has been Lutheran or another denomination doesn't get you an automatic genealogical connection to go to heaven. Can't be like the Jews in that one either. By the way, we answer to God, and we answer to God on His own terms. There are those who enter heaven, but again, it's on God's own terms. Many people think they're going to heaven, but they have not admitted that they are sinners, have not repented of their sins, and have not trusted Jesus alone for their salvation. I found an illustration that I'd like to share about Billy Graham. Following the Billy Graham crusade in Australia, the newspapers in Melbourne printed the following reaction. After hearing Dr. Billy Graham on the air, viewing him on television and reading reports and letters concerning him and his mission, I am heartily sick of the type of religion that insists that my soul and everyone else's needs saving, whatever that means. I have never felt that I was lost, nor do I feel that I am wallowing in the mire of sin, although repetitive preaching insists that I do. Give me a practical religion that teaches gentleness and tolerance, one that acknowledges no barriers of color or creed, that remembers the aged and teaches children of goodness and not sin. If in order to save my soul, I must accept such a philosophy as I have recently heard preached, I prefer to remain forever damned. What a sad letter. He wanted just basically a feel-good religion and didn't want to hear about sin. And if that meant he was damned to hell, so be it. See, some will try to enter heaven based on their own good works. They have also a false understanding of the very nature of God. And what I mean by that is they think because God is love, no one will be kept out of heaven. In other words, everyone will be saved. Which leads me to the third point. Not everybody is going to heaven. Yeah, this is a little hell and fire and brimstone preaching today. But every now and again, I guess we need it. Jesus says, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. It sort of destroys the idea that everybody goes to heaven. It absolutely had to insult the ears of Jesus' audience when he spoke those words. And by the way, there's a limited time offer. There's a time limit on the offer of salvation. Verse 25 says, when the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. And he will answer and say to you, I do not know you and where you are from. Then you'll begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I do not know you, where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. No one knows when the master of the house is going to get up and shut the door. The opportunities to salvation are only during this life. In other words, when we die, we don't get a second chance. The offer of salvation ends when we die. And the fourth point, I know this sounds terrible to talk about because it's not a happy subject, but missing heaven will be an eternal torment. Jesus says there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and you yourselves thrust out. They will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and sit down in the kingdom of God. And indeed there are last who will be first, and there are first who will be last. An eternal torment is something we can't actually understand or describe. Hell is being separated from God and wishing you were not. Hell is knowing what you could have had, but lost it all. Hell is the conscious torment of the knowledge of what could have been had you had faith in Christ. And it's a place where people are fully aware of what they lost and are forever in despair. In other words, they'll see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in heaven. They'll get a glimpse of heaven first so that when they're in hell, they can know what they missed out on. By the way, I don't wish hell upon anyone. No matter what they've done in life, the worst killers ever, I would not wish hell on anyone at all. The core issue is to know Jesus, not just know about Jesus. Instead of asking, will many be saved? We should be asking, will we be among those saved? You can say we're going to heaven. I can ask you, are you going to heaven? You can say yes. Then I would answer, how? Because if you don't have a plan on the how, you're not going to be able to get there. It's kind of like a trip to Mars. If you tell me today you're going to Mars, I'm going to ask you what's your plan for getting there. And if you say you don't have a plan, what's your chance of getting there? None. You better have a plan. So remember the four points. It doesn't happen accidentally. Two, Jesus is the narrow way. Three, not everyone is going to get to heaven. And four, missing heaven will be a decision you will regret forever. So I hope you have a good plan. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.